All right, let's build a deep jungle air horn hit in Ableton Live 12, but not the cheesy rave kind. We want that gritty, pirate-radio, warehouse system energy. Something that feels like it belongs in a dark jungle record, not sitting on top of it. Think of this sound as a foreground event. It should announce a moment, hit hard, and then get out of the way fast. In drum and bass, that matters a lot, because the drums, sub, and Reese are already working overtime. So the horn has to be bold, but controlled. First, before you even touch a synth, decide what role this horn is playing in the arrangement. Is it a riser into the drop, a single hit on the downbeat, a response to a vocal chop, or a tension marker in a breakdown? That choice matters more than people think. In DNB, the horn has to serve the 8-bar or 16-bar phrase. If you don't know where it belongs, it usually ends up sounding too random or too loud too early. For this lesson, we're building a riser to hit hybrid, so the sound should rise in tension, then resolve into a sharp horn stab or impact that gives you something really useful for transitions, drop markers, and fill lifts. Now let's choose a source. You can do this with operator, wave eatable, or a resampled sample. If you want a more classic jungle feel, a rough sample or brass-like source can actually work great. But you can also synthesize it from scratch. If you use operator, start simple. A sine or triangle-based tone is a good base. Add a second operator to bring in some upper harmonic bite. Keep the amp attack super fast, decay short, sustain basically at zero, and release short as well. The point is not a long musical note. The point is a shaped hit with attitude. A good starting move is to use a pitch envelope that rises somewhere around 12 to 24 semitones. That gives you the sense of lift without making it sound too polished. If you're using wave eatable, pick a brass-like or harmonically rich wave, but don't widen it too much yet. Keep the source focused and mid-heavy for now. If you have a sampled horn or brass stab, even better, just trim it down, clean it up, and keep the character rough enough to feel old school. Now comes the core of the framework. Shape the horn with pitch and amplitude movement. In the MIDI clip, draw a note that lasts anywhere from half a bar to 2 bars, depending on the phrase. You can either automate the pitch upward over time, or use the synth's pitch envelope to create the rise. There are two strong ways to do this. The first way is a continuous pitch rise. Start lower, glide or automate the pitch up by maybe 5 to 12 semitones, then land with a short final note. This works, but in DNB it can get a little cartoonish if you overdo it. The second way is usually better for jungle. Keep the note pitch stable and let the movement come from filter, distortion, and space. Then trigger a separate final hit at the end with more transient definition. That way the bass and drums still own the harmonic center, and the horn feels like tension, not a lead synth trying to take over the track. Now let's build the tone. A very solid chain here is auto filter, then saturator, then EQ8, with optional drum bus or roar if you want a heavier version. Start with auto filter. Use a band pass or low pass shape. Begin fairly dark, maybe in the 200 to 600 Hz area, then automate it opening up toward the 2 to 6 kHz range as the phrase rises. Add just enough resonance to give it some edge, but don't make it squeal. You want pressure, not plastic brightness. Next, saturator. A few dB of drive can really help the horn read on smaller speakers. Soft clip-on, and maybe nudge the color slightly if needed. This is where you start giving it that gritty jungle character. Just keep an eye on gain staging, because saturation can fool you into thinking the sound is better just because it's louder. After that, EQ8. High pass the low end aggressively enough to stay out of the sub-zone, usually somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz depending on the source. If it gets boxy, carve a bit around 250 to 500 Hz. If it's disappearing in the drums, add a gentle presence lift in the 1.5 to 4 kHz range. And if it gets harsh, don't just boost more. Find the ugly spot around 3 to 6 kHz and control it. This is a big DNB lesson right here. The horn doesn't need to be huge in the lows to feel powerful. If you control the mids well, it will punch through the breakbeats and Reese movement without fighting the kick and sub. Now let's make it move. The best risers in darker DNB don't just get louder. They get more unstable. That instability is what makes them feel alive. You can use LFO, shaper, envelope follower, or manual automation. A simple and effective move is to slowly open the filter over the duration of the rise, then increase saturation or drive in the final quarter. You can also automate the reverb send so the horn stays drier at first and blooms at the tail end. That gives the transition more drama. And here's a small but important detail. Don't make the motion too smooth. A little wobble, a tiny irregular curve, a slight step in the automation, All of that helps it feel more like old sample-based jungle energy. Perfect smoothness can sound too modern and too polished. Now for the actual hit. This is where a lot of producers miss the point. A nice riser is cool, but the hit is what makes the transition land, so design the strike separately. You can layer a short horn stab, a noise tick, a vinyl crack, or a low transient impact under the main sound. If you've got sampled horn stab, load it in simpler in one-shot mode. Trim the tail, keep it short, and use a cue to remove unnecessary low end. If the attack feels soft, drum bus can add transient snap. Utility is useful here too, especially to keep the hit centered and mono compatible. A really smart move is to group the riser and hit into an audio effect rack. Then map macros for things like rise amount, dirt, width, reverb send, and final hit level. That makes the whole thing easy to perform and automate across the arrangement. It also helps you turn one sound into a reusable transition signature. Now let's add space. Deep jungle atmosphere needs atmosphere, obviously, but in D&B space has to be controlled. Use hybrid reverb or standard reverb with a decay around 0.8 to 2.5 seconds, some pre-delay, and a low cut so the tail doesn't eat the mix. Keep the wet signal subtle at first, then automate it up near the end of the rise. Echo can also be great here. Short delay times like 1/16, 1/8, or dotted 1/8 can create that smoky, haunted warehouse feel. Filter the repeats so they don't clutter the low end. A little modulation goes a long way too. You're aiming for tape-like smear, not a huge dub wash unless the arrangement really needs it. Here's an advanced trick. Send the horn to a return track with reverb, then lightly sidechain that return to the kick or drum bus. That keeps the atmosphere breathing without blurring the attack of the drop. Very useful in heavier mixes. Once the sound is working, resample it. That's where the idea becomes a real record-ready texture. Record a few versions, dry, distorted, reverb heavy, and a chopped final hit. Then compare them against the drum loop and bass line. Usually the best one is not the most extreme. The best one is the one that has the tightest transient, the clearest mids, and just enough grit to feel dangerous. After resampling, you can warp, slice, or reverse the tail. Reverse swells are great for suction into a drop. You can also use a tiny stutter or a chopped last quarter bar if you want a more nervous, broken feel. Now place it in an actual arrangement. Let's say the track is at 174 BPM with a 16-bar intro, 16-bar build, and drop. You might keep the first 8 bars horn-free, bring in a subtle texture around bars 9 to 12, then automate the horn rise in bars 13 to 15, and finally hit the full stab in bar 16 before the drop lands on 17. That kind of phrasing makes the sound feel intentional, not decorative. You can also use it as a call and response element. For example, the horn hits, then the bass line answers on the next bar. That keeps the energy moving without constantly adding more drums. Before you call it done, test the horn in context. Check it in mono. Lower the volume and see if the mid-range still speaks. Listen for clashes with the snare crack and the Reese mids. If it masks the snare, pull some 2 to 5kHE or shorten the reverb. If it fights the bass, carve more low mid out of the horn instead of trying to force everything else around it. And watch your headroom. A transition hit should excite the arrangement, not slam the master into clipping. In heavier D&B, controlled often sounds bigger than overcooked. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't make the horn too bright and plastic. Don't let it sit in the subzone. Don't drown it in reverb. And don't forget the actual hit. Also, don't ignore arrangement placement. In this genre, timing is part of the sound design. If you want to go even further, try a two-stage horn phrase. Make the first stage narrow, filtered, and gritty, then let the second stage open up wider and dirtier right before the impact. Or do a negative space trick, where the horn rises, drops out for a split second, and then slams back in. That tiny silence can make the return feel massive. You can also build three versions of the same horn system. One clean riser, one dirty jungle hit, and one final resampled transition version. Place all three against the same 174 BPM loop and compare how they behave at full mix, low volume, and in mono. That's a great way to train your ear and figure out what actually works in a real track. So the big takeaway is this. In deep jungle and drum and bass, the air horn is not just an effect, it's a phrase marker. It should have tension, character, and control. Build the source around the groove, shape the mids carefully, separate the rise from the hit, and always place it in the arrangement with intention. Do that, and the horn stops sounding like a random blast and starts sounding like part of the record. That's the difference between a sound effect and a real jungle weapon.